All right. Good afternoon to those of you tuning in from California or elsewhere on the West Coast. Good evening to those of you further east in North America. And good morning to those of you just waking up in Taipei or elsewhere in East Asia. I am Karis Templeman. I'm the program manager of the Project on Taiwan in the Indo-Pacific region at the Hoover Institution. And it is my delight to welcome our audience today to this event on defending media freedom in Taiwan. Today, we are going to be discussing the state of Taiwan's media environment with three expert panelists, all joining us today from Taipei. We have Cedric Alviani of Reporters Without Borders in Taipei. We have Chunling Huang Hong of National Taiwan University, where she's a professor of journalism. And we have Eric Huang of the National Policy Foundation, where he's a non-resident research fellow. I will introduce them in more detail in just a bit. But first, I'd like to take a few moments to describe the motivation for this event and to place it in some broader context for our audience. So the impetus for our discussion about media issues in Taiwan was a decision that was announced in Taiwan about 4 months ago, in November of 2020. Taiwan's National Communications Commission, which is roughly akin to the Americans in the audience, to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, decided not to renew the broadcast license of one of Taiwan's most watched television channels, the news station Zhongtian, or in English, CTI TV. This channel's news coverage was in general quite critical of the government of President Tsai Ing-wen and her party, the Democratic Progressive Party, and quite supportive of the opposition, the Kuomintang or KMT. And it, along with its sister station, CTV, is the most China-friendly channel on Taiwan's, of the various 24-hour news channels, and there are many in Taiwan, on air in Taiwan. So this decision had the effect of forcing a TV station that was stridently critical of the government to vacate the space it had occupied on Taiwan's TV channel, Spectrum. And that occurred on December 11th. Since then, CTI TV has been off, has not had a place on the broadcast spectrum in Taiwan. They are broadcasting, and I believe they are broadcasting this event as well, via YouTube. And so while they have not been silenced, they are no longer occupying prime real estate on Taiwan's television channel spectrum. To tee this conversation up, I'd like to make three observations about Taiwan's media environment and put this in a bit of comparative perspective. So first, Taiwan has a reputation, generally well-deserved, I think, as a bastion of free speech and freedom of the press in Asia. Reporters Without Borders last year ranked Taiwan 42nd in the world, which may not sound great, until you realize that puts it at the top of the table in Asia, ahead of even Japan, and well ahead of its sibling rival in South Korea. In contrast to events in Hong Kong, and certainly in the People's Republic of China on the mainland, Taiwan looks like, Taiwan is a real bright spot in terms of media freedom in Asia. The decision to take a TV channel off the spectrum is actually quite a departure from Taiwan's traditional laissez-faire approach to regulation. Since it was created in 2006, the National Communications Commission has actually never before refused to renew a license for a station. It has fined stations for their coverage, for sloppy reporting, for misleading claims, but it has never before denied a license to one. So this decision represents a potential inflection point, from my view, where the NCC is using its power to regulate broadcast media more frequently and potentially more aggressively to police content and reporting. And as I noted, that's striking because Taiwan has traditionally had a very laissez-faire, we might even say libertarian approach to the regulation of media. There is no equivalent in Taiwan to the National Communications Commission in the print media world, for instance. Since 1999, there is no need to get a license to publish a newspaper or a political magazine. And so Taiwan, one of the great achievements of Taiwan's transition to democracy was just how free and open its media sphere became. The second point I'll note is that Taiwan has been at the forefront of expansion of influence of the People's Republic of China under the Chinese Communist Party. And its media industry was an early and very important target of the CCP's efforts to shape the narrative about China. Many countries, industries, and companies have been a target of CC pressure to change their public statements, their behavior towards China. And in fact, there is one influence campaign ongoing against the BBC in the UK right now. But Taiwan got this pressure early and often, and it has been a significant target well before the rest of the world kind of woke up to the threat of Chinese influence operations and the threat to the freedom of media. In particular, there were deep concerns in Taiwan in the 2018 and 2020 election campaigns. 2018 was a comprehensive local elections. 2020 was for the president and the legislature. There were deep concerns that the CCP was trying to use China-friendly media in Taiwan to bolster its favored candidates and to divide and discredit the groups that it did not like. I shared those concerns, and I don't think I'm alone at Stanford and at Hoover in sharing those concerns. And the chief suspect in this campaign was and remains none other than CTI TV and its sister channel, CTV, which I should note remains on the air. So a large part of the NCC's public justification for its decision to not to renew CTI TV's license is related to these concerns about misleading or unbalanced political coverage and a lack of transparency in its editorial and ownership structure, especially during these two political campaigns. The third point I will note is that the NCC itself was created to be a nonpartisan independent commission. It was modeled roughly on the way that independent commissions are set up in the United States. But a lot like the United States, it is structured in a way that doesn't necessarily preserve that political independence very well. At least from an outsider's perspective, the way that its members are nominated and appointed and confirmed does not seem to suggest it has total independence. In fact, all commissioners who ruled on the CTI TV case were appointed by a DPP premier and confirmed by a DPP majority in the legislature. So the way the NCC is structured, the premier appoints, the legislature confirms, and they serve four-year terms. And so unless there is rotation between political parties in the presidency, in the executive branch, then you end up with an NCC that is full of appointees from one political party ruling on cases like this. And this was also true not only under a DPP government, but previously under a KMT government during the Ma Ying-jeou era. And so the structure of the NCC, particularly if it becomes more powerful and more aggressive about policing content and reporting in Taiwan, I think is particularly problematic. And I'd invite the panelists to comment on this issue as well. So with that broader set of perspectives laid out, I'll turn now to some introductions. our panelists were very fortunate today to have three experts on this issue. We'll go in order of the program. We'll start with Cedric Albiani, who, as I mentioned, is the head of the East Asia Bureau of Reporters Without Borders in Taipei. I'm especially glad that we have him here today, in part because RSF issued a statement on the CTI TV decision that was generally supportive of the NCC's decision not to renew the license. And so I'd like to hear him explain why RSF was supportive of that position. This is an unusual position for a champion of media freedom to take, I would think. Second, we will hear from Professor Hong Zhengling, who is not only a professor of the Graduate School of Journalism at National Taiwan University, she is also a former commission member of the NCC. And so she is well positioned to talk about some of the internal challenges, and the real kind of complicated issues in attempting to regulate broadcast television in Taiwan. She is no longer in that role, so she can speak freely as a private citizen as well. I should note that she's speaking in her private capacity. And finally, we have Eric Huang from the National Policy Foundation, which is a KMT-linked think tank. He is also a former spokesperson for the KMT's International Affairs Department, and particularly important and relevant to this conversation, he has some media experience as well. He served as a reporter and translator for the oldest English language newspaper in Taiwan, the China Post. And so he'll provide some reflections as well on this decision and on the broader state of media freedom in Taiwan. So without further ado, I will turn the floor over to Cedric.
Thank you, Carissa. Yeah. So Taiwan ranked 43rd out of 180 in our index. This is second best in Asia. And this is also two spots ahead of the USA. So actually, there's no question in our assessment that freedom of the press is generally enforced in Taiwan. There is indeed no government interference, like direct political pressure. And whenever it happened in the past, it was not tolerated at all by the public. However, although the media are basically free in Taiwan, there are still some major problems remaining. I would tell you the three major: very strong political polarization between the two major political parties' camps, a very strong tendency to sensationalism, and a global pursuit of profit in the media sector that we believe hinder the role of journalism in Taiwan, of journalism to truly empower the citizens and allow them to access unbiased information. Journalism is supposed to help the citizens to make educated decisions. And if it does not fulfill this role, then this is a problem. The problem of quality of the media in Taiwan is, in our assessment, one of the last remaining big problems that hinder the Taiwanese democracy from being a true exemplar, not only in Asia, but actually in the world, which it could be. According to recent studies, Taiwan has one of the lowest rates of trust in the media, third position out of 40 surveyed countries, and with an average of 20%, this is extremely low for a democracy. And over the past decades, the Taiwanese authorities, no matter the political camp, have not really acted to solve the problem, which now is turning, and it is widely recognized in Taiwan, which now is turning into a major threat, because of course the Chinese regime is exploiting this weakness and trying to impact on the Taiwanese politics through the media. So media owners in Taiwan have no interest in changing the system, first because they somehow make politicians due to the power they have. Secondly, because after politicians are in power, it's of course very awkward for them to try and you know, take back part of this power. So it's kind of a chicken and egg situation. And for this reason, Reporters Without Borders has been calling several times the Taiwanese government and the Taiwanese legislators to better regulate the sector, not to control it, of course, but to make sure it is not the law of the jungle. Because so far, we're in the situation of total freedom, which actually does not benefit the Taiwanese citizens, does not benefit the Taiwanese public. We're in a situation where media owners are abusing their freedom, not only in the case of CTI, but generally, no matter their political orientation. And this does not happen for the benefit of the Taiwanese public. This is a threat to the Taiwanese democracy. So now, yeah, maybe talking one word on the decision of NCC not to renew the CTI license. Caris, you mentioned Reporters Without Borders assessment was quite unusual. It is not Reporters Without Borders. It's an international NGO that has to speak the same way, no matter the country. No matter the region it is talking about. So actually, what we said about Taiwan could have been said in other countries. The point is, what is the Reporters Without Borders mandate? It is freedom of information. Information means facts. It means journalistic facts. It doesn't mean freedom of opinion. It doesn't mean freedom of expression. If CTI had been an opinion channel, let's say a political channel, a religious channel that is stating its opinion, I do not think NCC would have had any problem with letting them operate. The problem is that CTI is a news channel. A news channel is supposed to report facts, not report the opinion of its owner, not report the opinion of a political camp. It is supposed to report facts. So when it is shown that it has repeatedly failed its mission to report factual information, or that it is disguising information to serve a political camp, it is somehow a propaganda channel. It is not a news channel anymore. So this is what is very important to underline. We are not talking about a decision that was taken, I believe, from the NCC in order to gag an opinion channel. It is a sanction that touches a news channel that is supposed to report news factual information. Now, of course, NCC has clearly failed that mission several times repeatedly, and somehow the freedom of the press is always invoked in Taiwan as an excuse for going against the basic ethical standards of journalism. But this is not journalism. So I will insist, and I will be done on a very few points. First, press freedom does not mean absence of regulation. It is necessary in every democracy that the media sector is regulated for the benefit of the public, just like any other economic sector. Otherwise, it's the law of the jungle. Otherwise, it gives all power to the media owners, and this is not acceptable. Secondly, the review made by NCC is not illegitimate per se. First, it's legal, it's planned by the law. Secondly, they have the option to renew or not renew channels. And if they never exert this option, then I do not think they are doing their job. So it is not illegitimate per se, and it is normal that democracies have ways to protect themselves against propaganda, against some actions that might potentially undermine them. So now, what is regrettable is that the decision made by NCC was made, in my sense, a very casual way. NCC did not provide a complete set of evidence to substantiate its accusations. There were documents provided, but it was not a complete set of evidence. And this is regrettable. And also, as it is a first-time decision, we could expect NCC to use the same standards in the future for other channels, and especially channels that do not belong to the same political camp. And what Reporters Without Borders said is not that NCC is right or that the government should prevent CTI from existing. And actually, as a matter of fact, it didn't happen because CTI still exists. There was no crackdown. There was no shutdown of CTI's operations. It's just a license to emit on a certain medium that was not renewed. So we believe the Taiwanese government and NCC should use a set of standards that is similar no matter the channel. That's very important. And currently, all Taiwanese governments, no matter their camp, share the responsibility for the lack of respect of journalism standards, of ethical standards. So we do not believe DPP has done better than the Kuomintang with this regard. We believe it is about time for the Taiwanese democracy to protect itself. And for this, it needs to have a set of rules that is consistent and that is actually enforced.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for those comments, Cedric. Before I turn it over to Professor Hong, let me just make a procedural note for our audience. If you would like to pose a question to our panelists, there's a button down at the bottom of your screen that says Q&A. I invite you to type in your question there. I will see that. And then as the moderator, I will curate that. And I can't promise we will get to your question, but we will definitely see that. And I will attempt, if time allows, to pose your question to the panelists. So please do feel free to pose a question through the Q&A. So second, we'll have Professor Hong from National Taiwan University.
Thank you. Good afternoon there. And from my viewpoint, it is a very difficult decision for the NCC because it suffered a lot of pressure inside and outside of the country. First of all, I want to say that to my knowledge, the NCC rejected the CCTV News license renewal application on the grounds that the channel frequently violate media regulation. So on the ground, I share the same viewpoint with Cedric here. And the records show that Zhongtian has a malfunctioning internal control mechanism that cannot be rectified. And its future operation plan was not very promising in terms of producing quality news. According to the law in Taiwan, a news channel can be fined if it violates the principle of verifying the truth and harms the public interest. In the worst situation, the regulator can maybe suspend the program or even revoked the license immediately. So that's the regulation by our law. Then let's turn to the case for the CCTV News. There's one more things we need to know that 6 years ago, in year 2014, this news channel was in the process of renewing its broadcasting license. And it was given requirements for its license renewal. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone here should know that that's under the KMT administration. Mm-hmm. So according to the Satellite Broadcasting Act, channel operators should obtain a license from the regulator, the NCC, and renew it every 6 years. And back to that time, the external committee, which the regulator invited, helped them to review the conduct of each channel for their license renewal. And it got this disagreement with the external committee that's the situation there. But eventually the NCC agreed to renew the license. But they required Zhongtian to enhance their internal quality control mechanism. So here again, after 6 years, the NCC review the the conduct of the news channel and find it the situation got worse. So they have to take further step to to ask the news channel to do more things. So that's what happened in last year, as we already know. But what happened, I think, the news channel has shown to the Taiwanese audience and even to the whole world, they sent a strong message that they maybe just as Abdian said that many people think that it seems that Zhongtian TV is not a news channel. Instead, it's a propaganda, tools for the mainland China. So that's big concern in Taiwan. And back to the conduct of the news channel, according to the record of the NCC, they have violated a lot of regulations, and they got fined by the regulators. In total, by the end of 2020, CCTV has been fined a total of more than 11 million Taiwanese dollars. Maybe it's not the big amount in the US, is it's big amount in Taiwan, and it's for 25 breaches of media regulations. And the amount is more significant than other news channels. So talking about media freedom, the main issues here are Caris just mentioned. As a democratic country, Taiwan enjoys a high level of media freedom in global rankings. And there are many news outlets in this island country and show diversity in their news selection and viewpoints. However, severe competition has a negative influence because there is pressure to cut costs in news production that lead to less investigative reporting, reduced the coverage of public issues, less fact-checking, less international news, and too much quiet news and too much news coming from online resources. So Taiwanese people are dissatisfied with the quality of the media. So I think that's why the NCC has to take the more active, you know, measures to regulate the TV news. And of course, I agree with the viewpoint that the regulator should, you know, have the consistency in law enforcement in the future. And actually, some people might ask that it's a political because the NCC only punished, you know, the pro-blue or pro-China media. But actually, it's not true. If you look through the record of the NCC in the past 2 or 3 years, actually, the pan-green TV stations such as the SCT or, you know, other Formosa TV, they also got fined from the regulator. And they, but we should say and we should tell to what extent, you know, the TV news conduct and to what extent they violated the law and the principle. And we have to ask, you know, they really qualified, you know, to serve the public interest, or are they really qualified to, you know, work to renew the license? If we put the question, actually, that you know, that's a group of people in Taiwan asks, if the NCC continue to give license to this kind of news station, how can they say they do their job to serve the goal of our media regulation and serve the public interest? So, well, yeah, I think that's my basic viewpoint on seeing this case and on press freedom in Taiwan. So maybe in the next section, we can, you know, talk more, yeah, regarding the questions from the audience. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Professor Hong. Our third panelist is Eric Huang. Eric, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Karis. I'm honored to be a part of this panel with experts. I'm not a journalistic expert, but I'm here to offer my observations. I'm here to make a three-pronged argument in favor of CCTV against the NCC deporting it. The first argument is an old and tested argument that in the interest of democracy, we need to protect diverse opinions and to promote civic dialogue. Zhongtian is a platform enjoyed by a lot of Taiwanese and that offers a viewpoint many might argue as being pro-China, but is shared by many of the Taiwanese. A second is that though I'm not an expert and I don't have expertise to argue whether NCC has the authority to revoke the license, but I think NCC might not have met the substantive due process to actually not renewing Zhongtian's news license. Third is I would like to address the white elephant in the room that is from a national security standpoint, that shouldn't be the reason, and it actually wasn't the reason for NCC to not renew Zhongtian's license. So given we all know that the CCP is a threat, China is a threat, and China tries to penetrate Taiwan society through different media channels, I personally have criticized the CCP on numerous occasions whenever I appear on Zhongtian, either on their news channels or their political talk shows. This is not to say I'm biased. So allow me to dive deeper into my three points. I think the concept of public sphere is to allow mass media to function as an exchange for different and all ideas and perspectives. This is true in Taiwan, that we have many different viewpoints for our audiences. So if you find Zhongtian's news reporting to be biased or to be not correct, I think the audience can find other news channels to balance the facts. And this is not to mention that the news produced by Zhongtian, even though have selection biases, but there isn't really a lot of factual mistakes. I will go into this point further later. Second, I think the erosion of tolerance in speech in the worldwide phenomenon needs to be taken with caveat. I think nowadays, because of online information and disinformation everywhere, people are aware of this situation. But according to FCC, which is equivalent to Taiwan's NCC, they do not review anyone's qualification to either edit or announce or comment on the news. So I think this is we need to be very careful to go down this road, especially even though I'm not arguing the case, but I'm saying such actions can easily be read or misread as politically motivated, or the people who actually just, you know, pure audience who enjoy either news station, in this case, Zhongtian, might feel like they're ostracized or, you know, their viewpoints are being censored by the government. Further, in the case of news distortion, which often are being complained and filed against in the United States for either inaccuracy or one-sided news, or in this case, which is very relevant to the Zhongtian scenario, which is overly dramatized on certain politicians, FCC usually would not intervene based on its First Amendment protections, which they argue that they will not replace their journalistic judgment thereof onto any news stations with FCC's own. I think this view is consistent in the 2018 case where FCC ignored then President Trump's tweet in favor to revoke NBC station broadcast license. Again, I'm not here to go into the journalistic ethic, which I'm not an expert. I'm just simply sharing my view here. So let's talk more about Zhongtian's case. It is, to the best of my knowledge, in the past 6 years, which is the period they were under observation, they had 25 violations handed down by the NCC. Zero occurred between 2014 to 2018. So all 25 cases happened between 2018 and 2020. This 2 years period coincide with Taiwan's two elections, domestic and presidential. So out of these 25 cases, I will mention 18 of them, not in detail. So seven of which the violation were handed down to Zhongtian's political talk shows. So here, I guess, even though this is a news station, but you could, excuse me, you can argue the case that, you know, commentators or pundits or experts are offering their political opinions. 11 cases are cited for overly dramatic coverage of a particular politician. And this politician often is what Harris said in the beginning of our seminar, Han Guoyu, who is a pro-China politician in Taiwan. Some might argue that he's pro CCP, even though I argue that's not the case. In these cases, all of which, if you read through the details, many audiences in Taiwan or the citizens will feel the political ramification of this. I will first argue the case that even though national security shouldn't take part of our conversation here, if national security is an issue at hand, different set of legal action should be taken rather than actions against the news agency's license being revoked, or not, in this case, not being revoked, just not being renewed. So many Taiwanese enjoy Zhong Tian's news reporting. Actually, during the period of 2018 and 2019, it is actually the most watched news station in Taiwan. So I will further argue the case that Zhong Tian is not a pro-CCP agent, CCP Chinese Communist agent. It is just within Taiwan, a pro-China and pro-prostrate peaceful solution station, which shouldn't be taking actions against politically. So though I think this whole case is not politically motivated, but the discussion, the civic discussion has led to that discourse. So many people might even argue the case that if you watch other news stations in Taiwan, some of the phenomenons, even that I feel concerning from Zhong Tian, is also happening. And it's very easy to go down the road for people to say, in already diverse political society, to say there is a double standard here. Even though I'm arguing that NCC shouldn't not renew or revoke any news station. And I think that's why that the bulk of my argument that Zhong Tian's situation is bad for Taiwan society. There isn't any concrete evidence that I have seen yet that Beijing has news editorial. And therefore, I think that is not a reason for NCC to reject its license renewal. So very briefly, I'll recap my entire argument is that for the interest of democratic interest and for the evidence we have seen from NCC and the evidence we have seen from the Beijing's interference, all fail to meet the standard of the action and the result we see here. And I will rest the rest of my time and I welcome an open discussion.
Okay, great. Thank you all for those very lucid and informative remarks. I'd like to go ahead and turn now to kind of an open discussion. And the first question I want to pose to the group, if I can find it here. I'm struck by Cedric's comment that there's a clear distinction between news reporting and opinion. And in Taiwan, these lines are constantly blurred. You'll have a news report on a television station followed by a talk show, and the same people are sometimes involved in both. And so I'd like to invite the three panelists to perhaps reflect on how we can distinguish between reporting that is strictly news, in which there's no kind of partisan slant, or there's no kind of bias, or at least we can enforce a neutral, nonpartisan approach to news reporting, and opinion, where we want to see different points of political view. We want to see a robust debate among different voices. And so can we make this distinction, and can we ask a government body actually to enforce that in a way that's actually practical? And so this is a question I think that Cedric probably should tackle first, and then we'll go in order again.
Thank you. Yes, there's a point mentioned by Eric Huang on which I totally agree. There's others for which I quite disagree. Right, we are not talking about freedom of opinions, we're talking about news, meaning facts. And the problem is that not even mentioning about Beijing's interference, which Eric is right, can very hardly be proven, but the owner of the TV channel CTI, Tsai Ong-man, has been caught. We're talking
you just
about,
froze. Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, we're not talking about political biases. We're talking about deliberate lies. And this is very dangerous for democracy. The very purpose of a regulator is to make sure that news channels are imparting news content, meaning factual content, maybe comments, but not facts that do not exist. And it's not because, and it's true, the media in Taiwan, most of them do not work fully ethical. It's not because everyone violates the rules, so no one should be sanctioned. It doesn't work like this. CTI may be the first one, but it would be good actually for the Taiwanese democracy that other channels of other political with other political tendencies would also be sanctioned for the same thing. And we are calling on NCC to apply the same standards to all channels. Information in Taiwan has become some kind of a mix between entertainment and circus games. This is not tolerable in a democracy. The news should be a tool for the public to better participate in democracy, and it's normal that a regulatory body would enforce it. And my last point, it is very important, and we're calling on the government to reinforce the guarantees of independence of NCC, just like they should do for public broadcasters, because of course, you mentioned it, Karine, in the beginning of our discussion, as long as there will be doubt on the independence of NCC members, there will be doubt on NCC decisions, and it will be also bad for the Taiwanese democracy in general. So all this is in the past two open letters published by Reporters Without Borders. First one was published before the presidential election at the end of 2089. And the second one was published last year in May, and we were calling on President Tsai to act on these matters. Guarantees of independence of NCC and the public broadcasters are fundamental.
Okay, so if I understand you right, Cedric, you're calling for a much more robust media regulator in Taiwan, which would be a distinct shift from the traditional practices in Taiwan. Junling,
every sector is regulated. Yeah. Why not? Why not? Why the media should be the only sector that is not regulated and that is outside of democratic control? This makes no sense in a democracy.
Okay, Junling, since you have experience working as part of that media regulator, do you think that's practical?
Thank you. I think the NCC, actually, you know, the law enforcement is exactly follow the law. And I don't agree with, what Eric just said is double standards, because by the Satellite Broadcasting TV Act, the NCC can only enforce financial penalty whenever the news channel they didn't really verify the truth, of news stories before broadcasting it. So there's nothing relevant to, the opinions or the viewpoint, which pro-China or against China. So that's not the issue and the rationale for the NCC to, sanction on CCTV or other news channels. So I have to make this point very clearly. And Eric just mentioned that the You know, the penalties happened in the past 2 years, around the year 2018 and 2020. But there's one missing point, because the amendment of the TV Act, which was passed by the Congress of Taiwan in year 2015, and the NCC started to, you know, enforce the law requirement around the, you know, year 2018. So that's the real situation. So you cannot argue that the why, you know, before year 2016 or 2015, there's no any case in Taiwan about, you know, to punish the news channel for, you know, their ignorance of verifying the truth. So that's the, you know, law amendment in Taiwan. So we have to make this point very clearly to the audience. So let's back to the point of the law requirement. And maybe I want to jump, you know, out of the box of the situation and the political tension inside Taiwan. From the comparative policy viewpoint, I have to say that the NCC in Taiwan, we quite followed the FCC model in the United States, but our law enforcement and the requirement are more similar to the European model. For example, I want to put the UK's case on the text. The regulator Ofcom in the UK, they frequently, you know, punish the news channels on the issues such as, you know, impartiality, fairness, and correctly, accuracy, this kind of issues. There are two major cases in the last year. One is Russia Today. Mm. Yeah, the Ofcom started the investigation of some news program of Russia Today, especially on the spy issue, you know. And the result of the investigation is that they find the Russia Today violate Ofcom's Broadcasting Act on impartiality and accuracy. And the second case is about the CGTN. I think most of audience here know what CGTN is. The former, you know, is CCTV. So the major case here is that the CGTN's news story and the coverage on Hong Kong protest is found by the Ofcom, you know, violating the Broadcasting Act. So the Ofcom find these two, you know, video news televisions, and eventually Ofcom revoked CGTN's TV license after, you know, the investigation. Immediately, not, you know, after certain terms of license renewal. So that's the regulation system in the UK. So if we look into this kind of media regulation from the global, you know, global world, so we cannot deny that, you know, the UK is a democratic country, and we cannot argue that it, you know, it violates invasion of press freedom here.
Okay, so we've got It sounds like two votes then for a more robust and active media regulator in Taiwan, and one that is going to enforce, ideally would enforce more directly and consistently some professional nonpartisan journalistic standards. Eric, do you think that's possible? And is there a way in your mind to distinguish between opinion news or editorial and actual news where they're just broadcasting the facts?
And just to clarify, I wasn't arguing there is a double standard. I'm saying the perception, the public perception perceive as above a double standard. I wasn't arguing their way. So let me offer my thoughts on your question, Karis. I think that given today's fast information technology era, I think it's very hard for people to not receive misinformation in our daily lives. So the question, to address this question, we really have to look at two issues. One issue is whether NCC has the authority to oversee a news channel using a public platform. The second is, does the government has the authority to shut down a self media, say what Zhongtian does today, which is on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. The latter, in my opinion, is easier to answer, is no. I don't think the government would have that authority. The former is more tricky. And for a person like me coming from a political background, I'm simply pointing out the fact that even when we are discussing a journalistic ethic issues, we still have to face the reality of public perception. And that's often very tricky and something that's very important to mend and move a society forward, especially given the rise of political populism and the divisiveness of Taiwan's politics, even though I think we might be a little better than the US in that front, but that's just my opinion. This Zhongtian case, what this Zhongtian case proved to us is if this Zhongtian case can help other Taiwanese news media using a public platform to become more A, objective, and B, more journalistically ethical, and I think is a good direction. But I'm still pointing out the fact that there are in between the times of the next NCC review of news stations, there are a lot of unanswered questions remain in the public discourse. And I think this is actually bad for society and democracy.
Okay, great. So in the interest of time, I want to move on to another question. I'll just make the observation that in Taiwan, the NCC has jurisdiction over broadcast media, so television and radio, but it does not have jurisdiction over print media, as I understand it, and it does not have jurisdiction over the internet, right, or social media companies, which in fact are private companies that regulate themselves. And so in the United States, we've run into this problem where the social media companies are struggling to figure out how to police unethical behavior on their platforms and to define a kind of ethical standard. And so the question I'd pose to all of our panelists is there something special about TV that necessitates or justifies a more kind of aggressive or robust regulatory presence that is not so crucial or important in the print media sphere or online in the internet? And if you think there's not a difference, then would you advocate then for Taiwan to create some kind of regulatory body that also regulates print and internet media? So we'll start with Cedric.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Well, the TV is very important because it's likely to be the media that has the most impact and the most immediate impact on the largest number of members of the public. But I believe that these regulatory questions actually come from technical facts, because in the past, there were a very limited number of channels, and these channels had to be attributed, and there were a lot of technical questions. So there is a history between the fact that the TV would be regulated another way compared to internet or to the print media. Nowadays, there is no more difference of nature between the media. And of course, there should be a unified regulation because the same company might operate TV channel over the web, radio channel over the web, print media over the web. So of course, there should be one single and unified regulation. This leads to a wider question. After the cyberspace got opened, democracies are not in control anymore. Democracies have a hard time to protect themselves against propaganda, against authoritarian regimes that somehow invade this cyberspace because regulations most of the times are outdated. And this is not a threat that only Taiwan is facing, but every democracy is facing this threat. And Reporters Without Borders has been repeatedly calling on democracies to sharpen their tools, improve the tools to protect themselves against such attacks. So in the case of Taiwan, yes, there should be a unified regulation, not to control the media, the print media, the TV, the internet, but to ensure that there is a fair rule of the game that benefits to the public.
Okay, I'm going to go to our next two panelists, but I do want to raise a related issue here, and that is in the print media sphere and in the online sphere. In Taiwan, in practice, the enforcement of ethics is basically through the defamation and libel laws. So different media companies will sue reporters, and reporters then face a lawsuit for some of their reporting, even if they can demonstrate that that reporting was in fact factual. And I bring this up in part because this is directly related to the CTI TV case. There was a reporter in the summer of 2019, Catherine Hill, who wrote an article for Financial Times, getting several people, anonymous sources, but several anonymous sources to conclude that CTI TV and the larger China Times Want Want group were coordinating their coverage with the Taiwan Affairs Office in Beijing. And that ran then in the Financial Times, and Want Want Group then turned around and sued the reporter, Catherine Hill. I mention this in part because I wanted to have Catherine here as part of this conversation. And at the time I reached out to her, she was still under that lawsuit and could not speak publicly about it. That, to me, is a very concerning case. And it suggests that reporters in Taiwan do not actually have complete freedom to report, even when they stand by their reporting. This threat hangs over them. And so is there another way? Do Taiwan's libel laws need to change as well in order to preserve media freedom in Taiwan? So Junling, you're an expert on journalism in Taiwan. What do you think of this case?
Okay, thank you for mentioning this case. Yeah, talking about the libel law. Yeah, currently in Taiwan, yeah, we still have, you know, the libel punishment by the criminal law. So that's the current situation, and it's continued debate in Taiwan here, especially, you know, the Journalist Association and the media reform organizations quite propose this issue. And yeah, I think that's one thing we should to think and act more, you know, carefully in Taiwan here. And talking about, you know, the difference of regulation for print media, broadcasting media, and even the internet, I think the international trend of regulation is kind of changing nowadays, especially for the internet. So it happens in the United States, in the European countries. For example, the EU, they have the AVNSD, that's Audio Video Media Service Directive. It already, you know, includes the online services and to put the same regulation, you know, standard for broadcasting media and online media, even, you know, including social media, but not the print media. So yeah, I think that's the global challenges for especially, you know, the media regulator and the democratic country, you know, in regulation the media outlets. But
I think we all hit the same bump in the internet tubes or whatever. All right, sorry about that. Let's return to Junling. You were making a point about the Media Service Directive in the EU and more generally kind of trends in international trends in media regulation.
That's right. So yeah, my point here, that's the challenge, you know, globally for every democratic country to deal with, you know, the such as misinformation or disinformation online.
Right.
And of course, that's the current, you know, efforts for Taiwanese government and for the civil society in Taiwan. Yeah, I just working on, you know, the report about the combating misinformation in Taiwan. And I found it's the key here is cross-sector cooperation among different, you know, the government, the media industry, the online platform, and the civil society, and even including fact-check organizations. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And currently, Taiwan stands well, you know, because we have a small presidential election in year 2020, and we are doing very well on the pandemic of COVID-19. So we hope that, yeah, we need more efforts and more communications with the civil society, not only the decision, you know, and policy made by the government.
Right, right. So there is an important role for civil society to play and potentially a journalistic group as well that would self-police. In many countries, journalists themselves go through a kind of professionalization or training. They censor each other if they engage in malpractice. And so there's a fair amount of civil society work that could be done to improve Taiwan's media environment as well. Eric, I want to hear from you about the possibility of, I noticed you were nodding along when we were talking about libel laws in Taiwan and concern about that. So what are your thoughts on this?
As for the interest of time, I'll keep my answer very short. I think since I'm arguing that for media freedom, I think A, we should get rid of these libel laws against individual journalists. And second, we should just apply the same regulations across board for all medias and news agencies, whether it's broadcasting, newspaper, or in the internet.
Okay.
I'm in favor of less regulations versus strict regulations. But like Cedric and Professor Holmes said, the world is facing a new phenomenon and people are still figuring out what to do. So for that, I will also listen to experts like them for their discussions to see what's the best way forward.
I want to kind of close our discussion here with a thought about the commercial motive in media in Taiwan, but elsewhere as well. In the United States, we've seen a dramatic decline in the quality and the kind of robustness of local news reporting because much of their ad revenue has been stripped away by the large social media companies. In Taiwan, profit margins at most of the media companies are extremely thin, as I understand it. And so there's a rush to put out product cheaply and quickly. So one proposal that's been floating around for 20 or 25 years in Taiwan is to create a more robust public broadcasting system. So there is a public broadcasting station. I don't know how many people actually watch it these days, but is there, do you think that might help improve the overall media sphere in Taiwan if you had a more robust public television and public radio and perhaps even some public print media and online media? Is there a strong rationale for building this up, investing some resources in it? Cedric, your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. This is one request by Reporters Without Borders that the Taiwanese government would drastically increase the funding of the public media. Let's make it clear, public media does not mean state media. State media in an authoritarian country is a media that answers to the state, that carries the propaganda of the state. When we're talking about public media, we're talking about media that belong to the public, meaning that are not submitted to the imperative of making profit for shareholders, so that can make a better public service for the information of citizens. We should actually call them public service media. That would be more clear. So in Taiwan, the public service media are extremely underfunded. The budget of the public television service, for example, is only a fraction of its South Korean counterpart. I think it represents something like 6%, if I have a good memory, of the South Korean TV budget. So even if you consider the difference of population, PTS is extremely underfunded. And of course, the purpose of a strong public TV system is to set standards. You cannot expect private companies, which purpose is to make profit, to set ethical standards if they do not have competition. So this is very important that Taiwan would strengthen its public TV sector. It should be the reference. It should be the public TV should be the TV the public refers to in case of doubt, in case of doubt on contents being published. And for this, not only public TV service needs more money. I'm talking about PTS, but I could talk about the press agency. I could talk about the public radio and so on. Not only they need more money, but they also need better guarantees of independence. Because of course, as long as there would be a suspicion that government is able in any way to have control on their editorial line, the public trust in these media will not improve. So more money and more guarantees of independence, this is capital for the future of the Taiwanese democracy.
Okay. Junling, your thoughts on this? We'll give you about a minute and a half since we're running short on time.
Okay, thank you very much. Of course, I support the public media system, especially we have very, very strong public television station here, and the annual budget is 900 million Taiwanese dollar. It's just about 30 million US dollars. That's really small money. And without, you know, the full support from the public, we cannot have a, you know, sound TV system here and to put a good model for the commercial media. So, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Eric, some last words, last thoughts?
Sure. I'm in favor of a stronger public supported news outlet, but I think there that cannot be in substitution for more commercial driven news media. That is to argue we the case that that's why public news outlets are even more important and needed. I think there will always be different opinions and there will be new stations that share different views.
Great. Well, we have like 30 seconds left in this event, so I just want to extend a warm thanks to our three panelists for getting up early Taipei time to join us today for this conversation. As you can see, we've got a lot of issues that we just began to scratch the surface of, and I hope we can continue this conversation in person sometime soon when we can travel again and get together in Taiwan. But it's been a pleasure to have you on. Just to remind our viewing audience, I'm Karis Templeman. I'm the program manager of the Project on Taiwan in the Indo-Pacific region at the Hoover Institution. And this has been Defending Media Freedom in Taiwan. Thanks. Have a good morning, good rest of the day, good night, wherever you may be, and stay safe out there.